Nada madaba kunga bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kati Janna Balava Kiri Balava. Kati Janna Balava Girivara Dhari.
Kati Janna Balava Girivara Dhari.
Yashoda Nandana Raja Janna Randana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana. Yamuna Kirala Machari. Yamuna Kirala Machari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kati Janna Balava Girivara Dhari. Kati Janna Balava Girivara Dhari. Yashodanandana Braja Jana Randana. Yashodanandana Braja Jana Randana. Yamuna Kirala Machari. Yamuna Kirala Machari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Yeah.
Ramana ki jai. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram
Chaivanarutaman
Naram
Chaivam Saraswati Devam
Devam Saraswati Vyasam
Tito Jaya Madhivayat. So before reciting the sacred Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let's offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayana Rishi, the Supermost Human Being, unto Mother Saraswati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who translated the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, okay, this is Canto 2, Chapter 6, text number 23. Yadasya nabhyan nalinad
Yadasya nabhyan nalinad
Aham asam mahatmanaha
Aham asam mahatmanaha
Navidam yagyasambaram
Navidam yagyasambaram
Purusha vayavanrite
Purusha vayavanrite
Yadasya nabhyan nalinad
Yadasya nabhyan nalinad
Aham asam mahatmanaha Navidam yagya sambaran
Navidam yagya sambaran
Purusha vayam vite
Purusha vayam vite Yada,
at the time of. Asya.
His.
Nabyat. From the abdomen.
Nalinat.
From the lotus flower.
Aham.
Myself.
Asam.
Took my birth.
Maha
Atmana.
Of the great person.
Na-avidam. Did not know.
Yagya.
Sacrificial.
Sambaran.
Ingredients. Purusha. Of the Lord. Avayavan. Personal bodily limbs. Rite. Except. Translation: when I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Please repeat: when I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Swayambhu, or one who is born without father and mother. The general process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the firstborn living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Mahavishnu plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity, and from his heart he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. But there was nothing besides the two of them, namely the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily parts of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were in need, especially animals. The animal sacrifice is never meant for killing the animal, but for achieving the successful result of the sacrifice. The animal offered in the sacrificial fire is, so to speak, destroyed, but the next moment is given a new life by dint of the Vedic hymns chanted by the expert priest. When such an expert priest is not available, the animal sacrifice in the fire of the sacrificial altar is forbidden. Thus, Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 10.8, Aham Savasya Prabhava, Matasavam Pravatite. Everything is made from my bodily limbs, and I am therefore the original source of all creations. The impersonalists argue that there is no use in worshipping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord himself. The personalist, however, worships the Lord out of a great sense of gratitude, utilizing the ingredients born out of the bodily limbs of the Lord. The fruits and flowers are available from the body of the earth, and yet Mother Earth is worshipped by the sensible devotee with ingredients born from the earth. Similarly, Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges, and yet the worshipper enjoys the results of such worship. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord, and yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. While the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of a great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. The devotee therefore endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord, and that no one can claim anything as one's own. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshipper in being engaged in his loving service, whereas the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains an undevotee forever, without being recognized by the Lord. Om Gyana Tamandasya Ganandam Shlaka Chakshuram Litam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurubhay Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhastam Stapatam Yena Bhutale Svaramupagadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. So, so the animal sacrifices which are recommended in the Vedas, which Prabhupada talks about in the purport for ingredients for the sacrifices, is that system became abused, as we know, because that's why Lord Buddha appeared. So Buddha appeared to stop the animal sacrifices. And when Lord Chaitanya met the Buddhists, they came up with some arguments, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they have nine main arguments to offer. One is that the soul is not eternal. So if the soul is not eternal, that means somehow or other, inexplicably, we got some bad karma, which we had to take birth in the material world. They don't explain how the soul came into being, but because the soul is temporary, somehow or other, just like the scientists, they give no real explanation for the reason why the world was created or how it came into being. So this is due to envy, really, that Prabhupada was so keen to defeat the scientists, because the scientists are the ones who've really destroyed man's faith in God. When I was in England recently, I went to this beautiful cathedral, which was so very beautiful. So much time and effort had gone into making it, and you could see they had a lot of devotion, even though, you know, they were Christians, because we don't say we're the only people with devotion. They had devotion. They built a beautiful building, and it took 50 years to build. It's probably as nice as any of our temples in the West, actually, except for Houston. I mean, of course, we have the deities, but the actual embellishments, the roof and the ceiling and everything else, very wonderful. So that was like 1,000 years ago, maybe, that building was built. And so in the meantime, you know, with the invention of modern scientific conveniences, which actually are very distracting from the real purpose of life, and very frail. They can collapse at any moment. Just like the Russians now, they're bombing all the power installations so they can knock out the electricity, so that people have no heat in Ukraine, they can't see anything. So this is due to modern science creating all these elaborate arrangements so that people can so-called live more comfortably. They don't have to do their washing, they just put it in the machine. And of course there are some benefits. We know that because of Lord Chaitanya's movement, we can use everything in the service of the Lord. So therefore we say, anashaktasya vishayam yataham upayunjata Nirbandakrishna Sambhaya Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. So everything can be used in the service of the Lord. And a devotee is very fortunate, because as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, that a devotee sees that nature is producing so many wonderful things that can be used to offer to Krishna. Of course, you can offer your Tesla, you can offer your Apple, your whatever, but Krishna even prefers a flower to jewelry. So, you know, you can't make flowers in a factory. You can make plastic flowers. Anyone like plastic flowers? You like plastic flowers? They don't smell. It's an offense to offer a plastic flower. You can't offer a plastic flower. So the point is that, you know, the scientists, they've hoodwinked everybody because people are less intelligent. They've managed to create a society where we think we're very advanced, but actually we're just polished animals. We have the four wheels of the car, we run around on four wheels, the animal run around on four legs. What's the difference? They drive up to McDonald's to get a dead animal in the burger, and the tiger is running after the deer. So there's no difference. So naturally, Prabhupada wanted to create these self-sufficient communities because it's such a distraction having to make a living. Because you see, the whole modern society runs on money. Originally it was barter. People would barter things. Okay, I've got some milk. You can give me your gold. Anyone got some gold? I've got some milk. But now it's all artificial. You know, we have, we go to the store, we buy some old packets of grains or whatever it is, milk from slaughtered cows. This is a modern civilization. This is soul killing. Prabhupada said soul killing. It kills your soul because you forget about who you are. And on top of that, you know, we have impersonalism, which Prabhupada, so, because Buddha, you know, he was the, because Buddhism was kicked out of India, and we see so many temples in Japan, and my in-laws went to Japan a couple of years back, there's so many nice temples, so many beautiful buildings, because Buddha was a great personality because he was an incarnation of Krishna. He still has 550 million followers in the world. And after 2,700 years, I mean, will Mick Jagger have, you know, 550 million followers? And I don't think so. So Buddha's not an ordinary person. But, you know, his philosophy is defeated by Shankaracharya. And when Lord Chaitanya met the impersonalists, the Mayavadis, in Banaras, he convinced them, well, for one thing, there was one Brahmin in Banaras, and he was very depressed, actually, because he could see that people were not engaging in the service of the Lord. So it's a cause of depression, actually, because we see that so many people are rushing to hell and they're just wasting their lives pursuing temporal material enjoyment, and they don't know what the goal of life is. They never experience the real enjoyment of devotional service because they're misled. At that time they were predominantly misled by the impersonalists because Shankaracharya, he had established the Vedas with an impersonalist meaning, that he was Guru Narayan, Guru God, that we should offer respects to you because you're God. But this is caused completely offensive because Krishna, he does not have a material body. And he says that those who follow the path of impersonalism in the Bhagavad Gita, That path is very difficult. So we are, you know, yena yogin dakshiri mukti maninas to us to buy that up a shiri buddha. How's the next bit going? Yena yogin dakshiri mukti maninas to us to buy that up a shiri buddha. Aruya krishana purampadam tada patantya nadritu nishuddha amaya. Anyway, so the impersonalists, they may think they're liberated, but because they have no regard for your lotus feet, they fall down inevitably. But that verse is in the 10th canto, spoken by the demigods. And then the following verse is a very nice verse. It says, O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to make progress. So that's the advantage of being a devotee, that even if you fall down, of course, we should be very afraid of falling down. We don't want to fall down. But if you happen to fall down, then Krishna will protect you. So, but, you know, our goal is to never fall down. By Krishna's mercy, may he protect our devotion. May he give us the insight to see through the tricks of Maya. May he keep us firmly entrenched in devotional service, because falling down can be very painful. Although Krishna protects our devotion, still depriving ourselves of devotional service is very painful, because devotional service is very blissful. And that's why that Brahmin got so depressed when he saw that people weren't devotees in Varanasi. But now, of course, the British changed so many names. It's wonderful how the British, they conquered the world, but now Rishi Sunak, Rishi, I hope he lives up to his name. I hope he's a real Rishi. I hope he actually guides the people there in a nice way. But, you know, 200 years ago the British were exploiting India. So, because India didn't send a representative to the funeral of the Queen, mysteriously. Maybe some unimportant person, but nobody never came, even though India was part of the Commonwealth. And so there's ill feeling towards the UK, because they did steal some of the jewels from India, and maybe Rishi Sunak will be able to return the Star of India. It's one of the crown jewels. So, but the real wealth of India, of course, is the knowledge that I met a very interesting man in London, in fact, and he was a very nice man. It was outside the restaurant. A lot of Indian people traveling nowadays, tourists, I think they have more money or something, but they're all over the place. It's great. But outside the restaurant in London, Govinda's, so many Indians are going there. And I met this really nice man. And he said he was a scientist. And, you know, he was a scholar. He'd been to some conference on global warming in Ireland, in Dublin. And he was telling me, you know, that people, well, he, for one thing, he was with his son, and his son was at Cambridge University. And they were both Sanskrit scholars, believe it or not. He was a scientist, but he was also a Sanskrit scholar. When I showed him the Bhagavatam, they could read it, just like I could read English, just like that. And they knew so many slokas, Bhagavad Gita slokas. The son was studying psychology. He was already doing seminars on, you know, Vedic psychology, how to control the mind, etc. But the father, he was also a farmer. So he whipped out his phone and he showed me pictures of his place. It was some place north of Bengal, maybe Sikkim or somewhere. And he had his oxen. And he was working with his oxen to plow the land. So that's amazing, isn't it? He was a Sanskrit scholar, he was a scientist. He said the only thing that's going to change the world, he said they just don't get it, they'll never get it. The only thing is go back to this. Go back to the simple, natural way of life. Because, you know, this is Govardhan Puja. Tomorrow is, what's it called, Gopastami, where Krishna goes out and he takes the cows. So cows are very important, but unfortunately, you know, we like to drink the milk and it's great, and I'm exactly the same. I like the yogurt and the paneer, everything else. But the male cows are just as important. So in the villages, when a calf was born, everybody would celebrate as much when the male cow was born as the female, because the male cow was so valuable. Of course now, because of you know, the introduction of the tractor, in India we see everybody's using the tractor, but not this man. He was still using his oxen because, you know, he's trying to preserve Dharma, because the bull is a symbol of religion. But what are they doing in the modern society? They're killing all the male cows. Just imagine how sinful they are. Killing all the male cows because they can't make any money out of the male cows, because everyone's buying a tractor. Sick society. Anyway, so we get depressed because we see the state of the world, and so few people are willing to take up devotional service. It's not so easy to make devotees. You know, you can try so hard, and it's very difficult because people are very entrenched in their material life. They've been convinced that, and rightly so, they need money, because we're living in a very expensive society. You got to have a car, you got to have a washing machine. You can't live without a car in America, let's face it. Car means insurance, means gasoline, means car repairs. Half the economy is all about the auto industry. Half of all the money that's spent. Every few yards is a gas station. There's so many, everybody's got to get a new car. Fancy new car, costs you 30, 50 grand, 100,000. You can't be satisfied with an old car. But anyway, this is the modern world. Gotta have the newest and the best. So, but you know, we would like to ideally implement Prabhupada's plan that he, you know, the only way really is to show people a better way of life. We can latch on to what the karmas are doing and imitate them. Because really we're forced to, not that we really want to, but we're kind of forced to, but we don't have to lead a very opulent life. We can live simply. This is what the Bhagavatam recommends. The verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, fifth canto, it says, I can't remember the Sanskrit, but it says that devotees should actually lead very simple lives. They should not endeavor to earn more than what is absolutely necessary. We should try to live very, you know, without endeavoring for comforts in life, luxurious life, lead a simple life so that we have time to practice spiritual life. Because otherwise, if we don't practice spiritual life seriously, then we will become weak. And, you know, spiritual life, Lord Chaitanya, when he met the Mayavadis, this Maharashtrian Brahmin, he was happy to hear the glories of the Lord. If somehow or other I can assemble all the sannyas together, they will certainly become his devotees. If I do not carry out this plan, I shall certainly suffer mental depression. When Lord Chaitanya explains the Vedanta, he does so nicely, all the interpretation of Shankaracharya imaginary. Krishnadas Kaviraj, after, you know, Prakashananda Saraswati, he glorifies Lord Chaitanya and he wants to touch his feet. Prakashananda Saraswati, he glorifies Lord Chaitanya. And of course, all these Mayavadis, they became devotees and they had this ecstatic kirtan and everyone was in bliss. So, in that section of the Madhya Leela, chapter 25, it says, after converting into Vaishnavas, all the residents of Varanasi who were headed by the sannyasis, and after completely educating and instructing Sanatana Goswami there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri. I can't find it now. Sorry. Anyways. Where's it going? It talks about how the devotees should go to that lake where everybody's drinking the nectar of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, and can't find it. But ultimately, if we don't hear about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, then life becomes very dry. But in the modern society, we have to work so hard, it's very hard to practice sadhana. So we have to make practicing sadhana. Sadhana means, coming to the temple, chanting japa. And when Lord Chaitanya met the Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, he emphasized how much the holy name is the only way, that he quoted verses and he said, I'm just a fool, my spiritual master considered me a great fool. He said that you're not qualified to study Vedanta, all you can do is chant the holy name. So this is our life, is chanting the holy name, even though we may not full swoon in bliss every time we pick up our beads, but ultimately this is our only hope. And it may be difficult to chant. It's not always easy to chant 16 rounds every day, to hear nicely, but this is our only hope, because the holy name alone can render all benefits to living beings, and thus Krishna has hundreds of millions of names. So this is the only way. Lord Chaitanya himself, he's God, he says the holy name alone can render all benedictions. So we have to chant enthusiastically, understanding that Krishna is right there in his name, and that this is my only hope. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I'm just curious, the father and son that you met.
What's that?
I was curious about the man that you met.
About the what?
The man that you met at the restaurant.
Oh, the man I met?
Yeah, were him and his son devotees?
Was he an ISKCON devotee?
Or, you know, were they devoted to Krishna? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, they were devotees. I mean, I didn't question them, but,
yeah,
you know, they were very, I mean, yeah, they were devotees of Krishna. Yeah.
I just, speaking of Rishi Sunak.
What's that?
Speaking of Rishi, the Prime Minister.
Rishi.
He also, he's a vegetarian. He does not drink alcohol. And he makes his oaths on the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, that's right. Are you sure he's a vegetarian?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I saw a thing about
him. Mm. Yeah, that's great. He what?
He never drank alcohol in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was told.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a good sign. Yeah. See, I think the world has changed a lot, actually, because, you know, we had slavery just 200 years ago, and we got rid of that. Then we have a black president, Obama. So, things are definitely changing. Of course, we've got a long way to go, but I do believe that Lord Chaitanya's influence is really changing things. And right now we might be in a little bit of a dip, but I see that, you know, things are really going to pick up. And everything's going to be great. It may not be in my life. But anything else? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your class, you raised this one, what I would say, very difficult topic. I have this topic of the bare necessities of life.
Topic of what?
The bare necessities.
The bare necessities of life, yeah.
Yeah, so I've ended up in... I ended up in a lot of conversations with that topic, and there's so much came out of it that everyone seems to have a different idea as to what bare necessities means. And if we can see in our community, you know, like it's such a contrasting topic per se, that what it means to live very simply, to have bare necessities. So I wonder if you can shed some light on that.
Well, I mean, the ideal life is a village. Prabhupada glorified the village life. You know, he said we should make Vrindavan villages and live simply. If you see how they live, you know, they live in little grass huts. Of course, we couldn't really imitate that. But as far as, you know, they grow their own food, they cook on cow dung, and I don't know if they make their own cloths, but I mean, the ideal life would be where you have cloth makers, weavers, and spinners, and, you know, get back. So everything is made naturally, not in factories. Because practically everything we buy and everything we wear is made of plastic. All our clothes, you know, when I go to India, I like to go to the Khadi Bhavan, which is the concept that Gandhi created, that everything should be made in the villages. You buy, you know, all the cloth is hand woven, hand spun. Everything is made by villagers out of natural materials. So, I mean, Krishna created the world with all the ingredients to live simply without having factories or without making plastic. I mean, I obviously, you know, being a product of this age, I obviously am compromised myself because I have to use all modern things. But ultimately, it's not sustainable. This way of life is just cannot carry on like it is. It's because everybody wants to live like America, and America is already only 6% of the population of the world, but they're using 50% of the world's energy. So, you know, everybody in China wants to live like Americans. They were all vegetarians originally, now they want to eat steak, beef, and they want to have a car. So, you know, we've just really become addicted to the modern way of life, but it's just not, I mean, if I was young, I'd probably have to take birth again, because I've enjoyed all the conveniences of the Industrial Revolution. I mean, we enjoyed it. Now the future generations, are they going to be the ones to suffer for our enjoyment? So I might have to come back. That would probably be my karma, to come back, you know. But we just can't carry on. It's just, not just that. The main thing is that, you know, living in a society where you have to spend so much money to survive, you know, you've got your phone bill, your electric bill, your car bill, insurance. I mean, it's exorbitant. You're forced to work like an ass. You don't have time for spiritual life. So therefore, you know, devotees, they don't really have time to preach very much or to execute sadhana enough or to read enough, because we're just slaves to this modern so-called civilization. We're civilized, but what are we doing? We're destroying the planet. So simple living to me would be, you know, ideally to live in a village, to grow your own food. I mean, I have, honestly speaking, I'm really lucky myself, because I do have cows. I mean, it's work. And I do cheat a bit, because I go away sometimes, and, you know, my wife has, they have to stay back and milk. But basically, you know, we also have fruit trees. And nature is so generous, you know. I mean, the persimmons, for instance, we got these persimmons right now, and I've never tasted anything like them, honestly speaking. And then we've got oranges, so you get the oranges that you've grown. I mean, I'm not a farmer, I just, you know, got some little trees and stuck them in the ground, and Bob's your uncle. You get all these wonderful oranges, and they're so tasty with the persimmons. That's just unbelievable. Anyway, I don't have enough for everybody, but but the point is, you can't buy stuff like this in the store. It's all organic. You don't have to give them any chemicals. I've never given any chemicals whatsoever to my lemon tree. I've got a lemon tree which produces 300 lemons a year. And if you had to buy them, you'd spend $300 at least. And the lemon tree lasts for 50 years. So 50 times 300 is $15,000. For $20 you buy a lemon tree and you get $15,000 worth of lemons. It's amazing. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I was thinking about the point of simple living. I thought whatever, we can do to not complicate our lives more than necessary, but without a strong devotional goal and association, we might not even notice how our life is becoming complicated. You know, once you touch material nature, it tends to just get automatically entangle you.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy decision, even when sadhana and but that does help to clear our vision and to notice, wow, this is too much.
Yeah, it's very important to have good sadhana, because I mean, when all these different practices we do, coming to Mangalati, you know, putting tilak on your body, you're doing Harinam, you're reciting the names of the Lord, you know, chanting your japa, seeing the deities, all these different aspects of devotional service are very purifying. So when we become purified, we see reality. Otherwise, we're living in a total false dream. We're dreaming, you know. But when we wake up by practicing devotional service, we realize how false this modern society is, how everybody's indoctrinated into this whole artificial way of life. All the students, you know, rushing from class to class, they could be growing food, they could be happy, they're all full of anxiety, they're all worrying about their future, how am I going to make enough money to get a nice Lexus or whatever it is. That's on their minds, because they don't know anything else. Thanks to Mr. Darwin and the British scientists. I mean, the guy Edison, he was, you know, considered a great personality because he invented electric light bulb or something, or electricity. Apparently he stole the idea from one Indian scientist, but, you know, what has he done? It means we can't live without electricity. And then we have to pay $300 a month for our electric bill. And then if it all collapses, which it will, we'll all be stuck.
Another thing is that we try to avoid the complications of material needs, but we welcome the complications that often come with devotional service.
Yeah. That's true. Anyway, finish here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.
One more comment from Swaha. She texted.
One more comment.
Swaha texted me and was just saying that she drives a 15-year-old car. Even though she's encouraged, you know, by a new
one. Swaha's got a 15-year-old car.
Yeah, she drives a 15-year-old car, so
oh, that's good.
She tries to live a simple life, you know, in one sense, even though they have so much, you know, so many resources.
Uh-huh.
They use their resources. She's not saying this, I'm saying this now. But she's that, you know, they use their resources in Krishna service, but actually personally live very simple lives. So
right. That's
very exemplary.
Well, that's great. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.